This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The government would like to give your car a letter grade.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Here in L.A., when you go to a restaurant, you see a letter grade in the window. It's from the health department. So if it's an A, you figure it's safe to order the crispy duck. If it's a C, you've been warned. Well, the Obama administration wants to use that model for the sale of cars. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York with more on this. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill. And by the way, they haven't put a grade up yet on the deli where I got my bagel this morning, but here's hoping it's an A.
Okay, we don't know yet. Good luck with that. This is about ranking fuel efficiency, Jeremy. What's the idea?
Well, the idea is you go into a showroom at a dealership, and right next to the price that's painted on the car, there's a letter grade. And for all electric vehicles, for instance, there'll be an A or an A- or an A+. Well, less fuel-efficient cars might get a C or a D. And in addition to that, there would be a label with the amount of money you'd save on gas over a five-year period if you were to buy the car.
And how are car makers reacting to this idea?
Well, one industry group released a statement that said basically that cars are complicated things and giving a passing or failing grade based on just one aspect is a bit simplistic. Of course, remember, much of the auto industry here in the U.S. was saved not too long ago by the Obama administration, so maybe they don't want to be too critical right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I spoke with Peter Wells, who co-directs the Center for Automotive Industry Research at Cardiff University in the U.K. He says there's not much automakers can do.
This is the future. We do all have to do more in this area, and vehicle manufacturers are going to have to get used to the idea that increasingly their products are going to be ranked and compared in fuel economy terms.
And Bill, Wells also said putting letter grades on vehicles is not a silver bullet to get all Americans to start driving hybrid cars. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Transportation Department are going to have 60 days for a comment period to hear from the public on this proposal. But if everything checks out, they hope to have these grades on cars by 2012.
And you can see what those car stickers would look like at our website. They're up at marketplace.org. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thanks and good luck with the bagel.
Thanks, Bill.
As the U.S. limps along, here comes a report today that India's economy grew almost 9% this spring. That's extremely fast. Here's the BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta.
The 8.8% growth rate is evident throughout India. Walk around any city here and you'll see loads of building and construction work. Vikas Pota advises companies on how to do business in India.
If you're sitting in the West, it's astronomical. It's spectacular. But if you look at it from an Indian perspective, it's to be expected. India's been growing at this rate or thereabouts for the last 5 years. And I think they'll be disappointed that I haven't hit the 9% mark.
But with high inflation and interest rates rising, analysts expect the Indian economy to slow down. Many here are also worried about the impact a double-dip recession in the U.S. economy may have, as much of India's outsourcing revenue comes from the U.S. In Calcutta, I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
The news didn't do a lot for India's stock market today. Bombay's main index down 0.33%. Japan's Nikkei plunged 3.5% on worries about that strong yen. European markets down 1%. And yesterday, the Dow lost 140 points to close at 10,009. The Food and Drug Administration has investigated those two Iowa egg farms that recalled a lot of eggs after a salmonella outbreak. If you're eating breakfast, you might want to turn your radio down now as I tell you that investigators found the farms to be contaminated by rodents, manure, and maggots.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field is in a residential neighborhood where some apartment buildings next door have views right into the ballpark. So the owners of these buildings charge fans to watch the Cubs from their rooftops. Well, this year, reports Chicago's Tony Arnold, business has been tough.
Steve Alexander's with 3639 Wrigley Rooftop. It's one of about 20 buildings overlooking Wrigley Field.
We are now standing on the seventh level. This is what we consider our stadium seating. It's the highest point in the building.
Earlier this year, Alexander was charging about $200 per fan. He says his business is directly connected to how the Cubs perform.
We would be lying if we said it does not affect it. I think it affects it more coming down the home stretch.
The Cubs are nearly 20 games out of first place in their division and have little hope of making the playoffs. So the rooftops are just trying to bring in customers. Online, tickets are going for $150 less than they normally would. A losing season's nothing new for the Cubs, but this year's skid has run smack into the continued slump in the housing market. Alan Sanderson is a sports economist at the University of Chicago. He says the rooftops face more risk because of the nature of their business.
They're not immune from specific housing market conditions, nor are they immune from the fortunes or misfortunes of the Chicago Cubs.
One of the buildings is even going through foreclosure, and the bad economy is also scaring off corporate events that have been the backbone of the rooftop fan base. Sanderson says there is hope for the rooftops, though. The new owners of the Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts family, have invested in one of the buildings. He says that shows the team has faith that the rooftops will continue to bring in money. And it's a far cry from a few years ago, when the Cubs went so far as to put up giant windscreens to block the view of the field. That is, until the rooftop owners agreed to give the Cubs 17% of their earnings. Steve Alexander says there's no more bad blood, and he welcomes the Cubs owners into the neighborhood.
Cubs are going to be fine, the city's going to be fine, the rooftops will be fine. So, you know, it's just a little bump in the road, and everybody's going to make adjustments, and, you know, everybody just has to run their businesses a little closer to the vest.
Alexander says he'll take a hit for the rest of this season, but he's banking on the motto of Cubs fans, that things will be better next year. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold for Marketplace.
Things will be better next year. Don't we all wish that? And by the way, across town, the Chicago White Sox have a brand new star today. Manny Ramirez just came over from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have learned a financial lesson. The Dodgers had picked up Ramirez in part because his salary was being paid by the Boston Red Sox. So essentially, LA was getting Manny Ramirez for free. But then that season ended, and there were new salary negotiations, and then Ramirez violated the league's drug policy. As the Los Angeles Times put it, free is never free. So remember that. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. You're free to follow me on Twitter at Bill Radke Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.